This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
How cool was that?
It was a very, 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 very good conversation.
And very informative. And he's just so down to earth and honest about his journey, you know? Yeah,
sometimes we get these surface level conversations, and that's not what happened in this previous half hour. Frank was great.
You know, from CEO to social entrepreneur, you know that's my space. And that's where I meet fantastic, driven, powerful, sensitive, compassionate, hardworking women of note. And it is Women's Month, so I had to have a woman in studio. I think without further ado, she is the founder and CEO of Farm Solutions and the Princess Steam Menstrual Cup. And it's about time I've had you in studio, because you came into my life at a really great conference, and your energy and your drive and your networking skills stole the show. I know the kind of the work that you do, and I think it's time that we kind of put you on this platform so we can find out what drives you, what makes you you, and what makes you different from the rest of us, because you shine, girl, you shine. Shamila, wow. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
What an intro,
What an intro. And, you know, with the previous speaker, I mean, you know, I've got such big shoes to fill. And but thanks for having me. And you make me so emotional now, you know, with your introduction.
You really had a positive effect on me, and I had to share the space with the rest of the future CEOs, because you've got a lot of tools and skills that you can impart to the rest of us.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I hope to actually share some of my knowledge as well and make a difference. That's what we're here for.
Well, we're very pleased to have you in studio, and thank you for having that kind of approach. Before we go into some of the questions that we may ask, please would you just share a little bit of your background? Tell us who you are, where you've come from, those kinds of details, please.
Okay, how many minutes do I have? Okay, I'm Shamila Ramjawan, the CEO of FemRem Solutions and the founder, co-owner of the Princess Steam Menstrual Cup. So I hail back from the wonderful KZN, Pietermaritzburg, where I was brought up, and I school there. And
highly educated as well.
Highly educated, but you know, I must add that when you grow and succeed, you have to actually mention your background, you know, your humble beginnings. And like every top person in the world, an entrepreneur, a businessman, they all have their humble stories to tell. And I'm one of those. So when I matriculated, I didn't have money to go to university. So my family was poor, and I started locum teaching. And I earned pittance, and I decided to study. So I've got a few degrees behind my name, but, you know, it's something that I want to do, I'm passionate about, but I want to grow and develop myself as an individual. So, you know, with that background, it shouldn't be an excuse that you don't have, because you can get.
You really just have to be able to focus and understand how to get to that point. How did you do that? Because you say you've got a couple of degrees, so, I mean, that says to me many years of work and study. How did you do it?
It's hard work. It's perseverance. It's motivation. It's being inspired. So, you know, just going a step back, I got married at an early age. So, you know, a 53-year-old now with a 33-year-old son and a 23-year-old daughter. I lost my husband at an early age, a young widow at 34. And I had to fend for my kids because I was on my own. A single parent on your own, you had to do things. And at that stage, I had a public relations diploma, and I was busy with my marketing diploma, and I felt, you know, this is a time where I now have to complete and just study. And I completed my marketing diploma, and then I went on to my BTEC degree, and it's just been a phenomenal journey. And I just, you know, for me, it's all about being an inspiration to others, to youngsters, and that's what I do now. I'm trying to make a difference in the communities, in people's lives, touching people's lives, and that's what I'm passionate about. So I worked for a huge company in Pietermaritzburg, Hewlett Aluminium, and I worked for them for 19 years.
Sure.
So I was a really loyal employee.
Sure.
You know, it's only when you get to Johannesburg and then you want to, it's all about money, and you want to grow, and you're just erratic in your behavior.
Yeah.
And move on, because, you know, another company is offering you more money or better prospects. But that's exactly what happened. And then in 2002, I was offered a position to move with Hewlett Aluminium to their branch in Johannesburg. And they gave me a position as PRO and executive PA. And for me, that was a stepping stone because I needed to grow and develop and just get out of that zone where, you know, forget about, not really forgetting about the loss of your husband, but I have two children, there's growth, there's development, there's just me, you know, I need to move on. And that's when I opted for the challenge and they moved me, so they paid my relocation costs. And I got to Johannesburg and here I am.
And here you are.
Yes.
So from, you know, that time, I think for me as a woman, what's most important is that when did you find that no more of the corporate world, you really want to get into the entrepreneurship? And yes, you've got a family to look after for yourself. So when did that switch happen for you? And okay, what was that first step? What did you do first? What was the first business of yours?
Okay, I was... you know, toying between doing a master's in marketing or the MBA. And I chose the MBA because it's a business degree. And I promise you I would never look back because that's an entrepreneur degree and that's where I am today. You know, so
and we've had, sorry Shamil, and we've had our discussions to MBA or not to MBA.
Yes,
okay,
we have.
Right?
And here's a someone saying go and do the MBA. Interesting.
Yes, to the MBA, for sure.
Yes, to the MBA, my friend.
Absolutely. You know, I could sit in any meeting, whether you're a financial director, you're an operational manager, and I know what you're talking about. And as a businesswoman, that's setting the pace and setting the tone for your business because you need to know what's happening. And also people have more respect for you. You know, if I had nothing behind my name and if I tried to market my business and my product, they're not going to look at me. You know, so for me, it's been worth it. Lots of challenges, lots of hurdles. It hasn't been easy. It's not an easy degree, but
I'm sure.
you have to be motivated.
But then this then changed your mindset, didn't it? So you go into this master's degree, which is all really about understanding the language of business and how really businesses fit together. It changed the way you looked at things. And then when did you then feel the entrepreneurial bug bite?
Okay, so it actually began with being a director of social responsibility. So I worked at 7-8 Online, and I was the head of marketing communications, and I was a director of the corporate social investment. And I worked directly in communities, and I think that's where I found my passion. And that's where I decided to take the risk. So from 7-8, I moved to Business Against Crime, where I was marketing executive. And in 2014, I started my business, my marketing company. So it was, there were huge challenges. And also as a startup business, remember, you don't have an investor. So you're basically starting with limited resources. And I decided this is it. This is what I want to do. And yes, so I had the qualification. I had the experience. And now just to get onto the next platform and become an entrepreneur.
Do you know what's so interesting about your journey is that so many people come in and they say that they have been able to discover their passion very early. It sounds like that you had to go through quite a lot of different experiences, maybe some tumultuous experiences, some not so good, some really good, to find that part of you. How did you discover it? I mean, was it a case of you were out in the field, you were doing it, but how did you then realize that this is really your passion?
I think it was just...
instead of something you just like, you know?
Yes. I think it's basically dreaming. You know, dreaming big and making it happen. And I think for me, it was... if you look on my leg, I have a tattoo that's dream big as well. So I'm all for that, you know, for big dreams. But I think, you know, it's all about taking calculated risks. And not everybody can be an entrepreneur.
Correct.
You know, there's huge challenges. There's huge risks. You've got to have the financial backing, which I didn't have. But I thought, you know, this is something I want to do. And I'm going to take on the challenge and I'm going to do it. And that's exactly what I've done. So I started my marketing business in 2014 and I had a few clients. But I used to do CVs because I think, you know, just editing CVs, that's a document that actually markets you. And it's got to be a professional document. And coming from my previous experience where I had to have interviews with candidates, where I employed people, I found there are things that are missing on your CV. And those are important things that employers look for. So I decided, you know, at a minimal cost, update CVs, edit CVs. And that's what I started doing as well as part of my marketing business. And I just grew. And
that's great.
Yes. And then I decided to come up with my product, which I'm so proud about that I want to talk about as well.
Tell us more about, before we talk about a bit of product, you're a book lover, obviously, not just from studying, but just for motivation and educating. So you wrote a book called Marketing Tools and Strategies. What should entrepreneurs read? What's a good book for future CEOs to read that you've read that could inspire them and motivate them on their business journey?
I think, you know, the marketing tools and strategies, that was actually part of my MBA. It was my MBA thesis, which was second in the country in 2011.
Wow, we love that.
Yes, the lady that that actually came first beat me by 1%.
Yeah.
But 1% is a lot, you know, when you come second.
Well done, I didn't know that.
Yes, but I would say, you know, I don't have a book per se, but I read a lot of inspirational books, and I think it's also, you know, if you can read inspiring people in the world, you know. So Richard Branson is good. He's a motivator for me, and I follow him on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, and I always read his quotes. But for me, the book that is so precious to me is The Secret, because I believe in divine intervention. It's what you put out there that you get back. So it's all about positivity. Get up in the morning, be optimistic, be yourself, be you, love yourself first, you know. Those are the things that you start with in your journey.
Okay. I'm interested because that then brings me into, I'd like to create a bit of a juxtaposition, an opposite, a contrast. So you say you believe in a certain level of joy and love and these kinds of things. Tell us about moments in your career, recently perhaps even, where you have felt maybe the opposite, where you've struggled a little bit, and how did you deal with that? Because there are going to be some of our listeners who are starting their own businesses, who are further along in their careers, perhaps, or trying to get further along in their careers, and they're just not feeling it anymore. They're struggling. They're not connecting.
Dark moments that happen to you in your business.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, they are various. Okay, it's meeting with people, stakeholders or clients, and you walk into a meeting and everybody's so positive. They love your brand. They love your product. And you say, yay, I got this. And you walk out, and then 3 days later, you don't hear from them. A month later, you don't hear from them. And then you know it's a negative, you know. Yes, you do a follow-up and you try and get that business. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Okay. But the one thing that I found and that works for me is I love competition, because competition in the marketplace makes me work harder, because you know there's somebody there that's waiting to steal your market share, and you are going to work, whether it's 24/7, you know, I'm a person.
I know that this woman does not sleep. This woman does not sleep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know that's about you.
We have something in common here. I just feel that, you know, you have to, you know, I believe in the saying, grind now and enjoy the rewards later.
Yeah, today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can do what others can't.
Work like a slave to live like a king.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so I want to live like a queen.
Yes.
And I didn't get there yet, not even halfway through.
So what I hear you saying is that there have been some difficult times, there have been some difficult moments, but then competition brings you out of those moments. Seeing someone or feeling like there is this thing that's going to catch you. How do you do that, though? Some people can't connect with competition. How do you do it? How do you know? How do you feel? How do you get that sense of something coming?
I think you know you got to research. You got to know who your competitors are. And if you look at South Africa, just taking South Africa and not into Africa, we currently with my brand, we're in 14 countries, but just South Africa alone, and there's a lot of marketing companies. So we have that competition. It's on our doorstep, but we have to come up with a different sort of offering. People must recognize the brand. They must recognize the people behind the brand. And for me, that's what works.
Tell us about your belief in partnerships. I know with your brand, you're really in partnership. Your co-owner is like our golden girl. So tell us the importance and what the value structures are for you to create those partnerships with people or with other businesses.
I think it's important to share the same vision. That's important. You need that synergy. And I think Custer and I, we actually, you know, from day one, we knew there was a definite connection. So it's important to connect with your partner, and also just working together. It's so important. You know, Custer is more on the strategic level, and I'm more strategic and operational. But she knows everything that's going on in the company. So you've got to have that sort of communication, which is important. There shouldn't be communication gaps with partnerships. And, you know, always relate. Tell them exactly what's happening in the business. Give them facts. Ask for advice. You know, we don't know everything. You know, what the other person knows, we don't know, and it's all you learn every day. So it's always
and exactly what Frank just said about him and his partner, that, you know, they came from different places, you know, of dealing with the business. But when they saw that the vision and the ethics of how they wanted to see their company go forward, that's when there was
incredible complementary strength, correct, as you say. Yes.
Correct. Yes.
So I want us to go into the social aspect of what you do. So let's begin talking social entrepreneurship. Tell us more. Tell us more.
Okay. So I researched my product, the Princess D Menstrual Cup, for about 2 years. And I decided that when I worked on the CSI projects in communities, I found there was a need.
Mm.
Okay, now the big hype is keeping girls in school. Yes, we must keep girls in school, and they need a sustainable solution. So I researched the product, and I'm busy with my PhD on it, on women's matters and menstruation. And I found that there was a need, but we needed something that was affordable. So I decided, why not? Let's research this.
If ever there was a competitive space, Shamila, this is it.
Mm. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So this is just for you. Yes.
I love the competition.
I know. Yes.
So I decided, you know, I'm going to come up with my brand. So I named the product after my daughter. Her name is Daksha, because I get that all over the world. People ask me, why Princess D? Mm. Is it Princess Diana? And I say, it's Princess Daksha. That's my daughter. So I named the product after her, and I decided I'm going to take this into the market, which I did last year, and it's very successful. It's been hard work. It's been blood, sweat, and tears. And that's what entrepreneurship is all about.
Mm.
You know, you must be able to take it, no matter what it is. And so I must also tell you that when I started the product, I worked on my own. So I basically, it was a one-man show, taking this product into the market. And I worked through every hour of the day, tapping into international markets. And so I can proudly say that we're in 14 countries right now.
Mm.
And tell us about the process of tapping into those markets. You know, what were the highlights and the lowlights? Just give us an example of an experience that you had about going through that experience.
Yeah. Can I ask
a little bit?
So the toughest market to get into, which one was that?
I think most markets are very tough, because if you don't know who you're dealing with and you don't know who you're sending an email to, because it's not easy to phone international. You're going to phone, you're not going to get the people on the other side. But I think sending emails, if you send an email to marketing@ or info@ or those kind of emails, they don't get to anybody, you know, and you would sit not getting a response. Mm. So basically what we did was, what I did, I started exploring South Africa. And I tapped into the different provinces, and now I have stockers in different provinces in South Africa. So I've created jobs as well. So we get stockers that actually came on board as strategic partners where they sell the product, okay? And that's how we develop. So I don't give them a restricted area. They're open to go into the world, so it's global.
Mm.
And that's how we managed to tap into the different parts of Africa as well.
And but surely you had a tough experience. What, tell us who your absolute toughest market, the toughest nut to crack.
Can you see these dark circles under my eyes?
Yes.
So that's a yes.
It's good makeup. You know, every market is tough, I must say. Every market is tough. But it's just strategic partners, getting involved, selling the brand. You know, and I also believe it's not easy selling a product. You've got to basically sell yourself first.
Mm.
So it always starts with your personal branding. Okay, so it's your personal branding, then it's your business, and then it's your product.
Mm,
so that's basically how it works.
Mm. Now, people do sell to who walks through the door. So, of course, you have to be presentable. There's a personal brand element. Then that you have to qualify yourself by offering something of real value, which is then, of course, your product. And then the third one that you said was?
So it's personal branding.
Yes.
It's your company.
A company.
And then it's your product. Yes.
I must start this.
Yes.
The middle one.
Yes. But what I must add is, you know, as budding entrepreneurs, you know, if you're starting off, you always look where you can save money. And the important thing, what worked for me is social media. Because if you are present on social media, you know, Facebook has worked wonderfully for me.
Has it?
Yes. Okay. Because what I would do is I would do a lot of research, and then I would go in and inbox people in the different countries, in Africa, etc. And also, at the beginning of this year, I was invited to speak, to present at the Women Economic Forum in New Delhi, which I attended.
Wonderful.
And I met amazing people from 120 countries. And I managed to get my USA Canada stockers. And now I'm in talks with a Zimbabwe lady. So it's going into Zimbabwe. So it's amazing how you network and connect. So I would say latch on to, I would say, the freebies, because you don't have money to start. So you're going to latch on to the freebies. And use social media because it's free. You're just paying data costs.
What is your vision for the future? Where do you want to see Farmhouse Solutions? Where do you want to see Princess D? Where do you want to see yourself? 5, 10 years time.
I want to see myself getting some sleep.
I believe you.
Okay. We have big goals for FamRem Solutions. We want to grow the marketing side of it. It's important. And I've got three really great clients that are coming on board now, where they actually want me to do the outsourced marketing, which is great for us. With Princess D, Kasta and I, we have a vision. Where we want to go in the next few, I would say, months, but it's something that I can't disclose right now. But yes, we want to grow the brand. We want it to be in most countries. So that is a
African
mammoth
continent, definitely.
Yes, but it's a mammoth task. But we're going to get there. I'm very positive. I want to be on the shelves. You know, I am on the shelves now. We're currently in 50 pharmacies, and you know, wellness centers and spas, women's health and beauty places, but I want to actually be on the shelf like Always and Libres, you know, they're my competitors, and I'm their biggest competitor too, but I want to be on the shelf, and people must recognize Princess D menstrual cup anywhere in the world, you know, they must recognize the brand.
I like that vision. I think sometimes, often people, what they'll do is they'll set a large vision, but then they only work on the small bits on a day-to-day basis, instead of just living in that vision on an ongoing basis. And so I so appreciate your vision. Maybe before, because we are running out of time, maybe a couple quick questions. The biggest mistake that you've made with Princess D menstrual cups, what's the biggest mistake you've made so far?
The biggest mistake that I have made is trusting people. And, you know, I gave a few companies consignment stock, and I didn't get paid for it. And then I gave back broken boxes, etc., which can't be replaced, and it costs money. So that was one of the biggest mistakes that I've made. So, you know, just don't trust. When it comes to business, and I just want to add this, in business, you don't have friends. It's more like being in a corporate world where there's employees and they're your colleagues. And it's the same with being an entrepreneur.
So employees and colleagues, but no friends.
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. It's difficult because you're going to trust. And, you know, a lot of people, they would take the product from us and not pay. And now, you know, we learn as we go along. So that's the best advice. Just don't give anything away for free. Because at some point, someone has to take the cost for that.
I know.
Someone's paying for it.
I know.
You know, I get that every day. People ask me for samples. We don't have a sample menstrual cup. The menstrual cup is a real thing. So when you get a menstrual cup, it's something that you can use. We don't have a piece of silicone that we can give you, you know. So yes.
That's a good one. Very good.
Pearls of wisdom from both Frank and Shamila today, and just the hardcore truths and the do's and do nots about, you know, business and business protocol and business practices, which we as future CEOs can learn to take or not take in our entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, Shamila, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. We really appreciate your insights. Where can our listeners find out a little bit more about you?
Oh, gosh. I think they know me, hey.
Bring it.
Okay,
bring it.
Okay, my website, www.princessdmenstrualcup.com.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook, Princess D Menstrual Cup, and my African stockers are now creating pages as well. But the main page, I think we have over 70,000 followers.
Very nice.
And then we have an Instagram page. It's Princess D Menstrual Cup, all one word.
Love it. Thank you for doing what you do. these kinds of products, a social entrepreneurial
love it, exactly.
aim, really does change the world. So thank you for changing the world, and we look forward to being able to see some of the growth that you've been speaking about in the future. Thank you.
Thank you so much. But on a final note, I want to actually thank my partners, my sponsors, and everybody that is actually contributing in helping keep girls in school.
Mm. Absolutely. I love businesswomen with a purpose to make a difference in other people's lives.
All right, we've run out of time. We'll see you back same time, same place next week, Thursday, Future CEOs, where we bring you top entrepreneurs, super executives that give incredible insights and we know are helping you to fast track your careers and grow your businesses. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.